Dr. Bruner, thank you very much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Good to be here.
I wanted to talk a little bit about people addressing their healthcare needs, especially these days as things have been relaxed a little bit on as far as gatherings are concerned, but there's still some restrictions in place when it comes to visiting healthcare facilities, and Regional West no exception right now, correct?
Absolutely. We want to continue these restrictions as we protect our patients, but as well as protect our population.
With the restrictions that are in place for Regional West, even though that's the case, it does not mean that people do have emergent healthcare issues, whether they're needing ER assistance or, say, a regular visit to the doctor, that they should be putting these off. They should be coming in right now, correct?
Yes, we would really much want them to come in now. Routine healthcare has been put off for a couple months now, and some routine things are going to become more urgent or emergent things. And so, yes, we've got provisions in place to protect people as they come in. The COVID restrictions will continue. But the idea is that everybody is screened coming in, screened with temperature, screened with a history or symptoms that would suggest any COVID exposure, so that once inside the building, they are safe. And well, people are going to be in a different area of people that are ill, and even the ill people are going to be in different places depending on what illness they have. And COVID is no exception to that.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there's only the four entrances that are available at the Regional West facility through the emergency room, the main medical center, Medical Plaza North, and Medical Plaza South. We had the separation early on as the pandemic was emerging of non-respiratory needs being taken care of at one location, whereas respiratory-related responses were directed to another location. Is that still in effect?
That is still in effect. We are monitoring that frequently to decide if that ever should be lifted. Looking forward, that may be something that happens periodically as we get a respiratory illness that would sweep the panhandle similar to this. What also is still in effect is we still have ability to separate as you come into the emergency room for respiratory and non-respiratory illnesses.
And of course, those who are coming to the facilities, there are restrictions on who can be with them depending on the circumstances, correct?
Yes. And those are changed as often as needed, but we try to stick by a standard, limiting just one person per patient to be in the building. And that one person is going to be somebody that's close to that person. It doesn't affect it by COVID. And then we do have some end-of-life things that we have loosened those restrictions a little bit to allow family to come in, but yet still be limited with that. And so we still have areas where we can get people to see family members. But overall, the visitors' restrictions are going to be met at the door and say, we're not going to allow visitors to be there. That one person is a specific person in a disease state that person would be having to be in.
Yeah, and we're talking especially with pediatric patients, birth and infant care center, and then patients requiring a physician's clinic or urgent care appointment, especially if it's a minor or if the provider, you know, requires having somebody with that patient. But visitation-wise, there are other options that are still available. Of course, those are all virtual.
Yes, virtual, because there's no transmission with a virtual visit there. And so Skype's available, FaceTime, phone calls. We have technology available that if a patient doesn't have those abilities on their own, our nursing staff can help them virtually connect with their family.
And of course, that also holds true for people who may need to talk with a doctor for, say, a standard care, say they have asthma or something, they need to get a prescription re-upped for albuterol or something similar to that. They can do so with visits like that virtually as well.
Yes. We're getting more and more sophisticated with our virtual visits, and that's happened rather rapidly. It was something that was coming And then COVID really accelerated that delivery of that type of care. And so, yes, a lot of visits can be done virtually. And contacting your clinic is the best way to figure out if you can be somebody that's a televisit or a Zoom visit over the screen.
Now, I know that here locally we've had our 911 communications director talking about if you have emergent issues, you know, not to put those off. You didn't definitely want to call 911 in those circumstances. And that's been a problem in other parts of the country where people have delayed treatment of healthcare issues, and you know their cases have progressed to the point where it becomes an emergency or even a somebody passing in other parts of the country. We haven't necessarily had that here, though, have we?
No, we have not seen that here. But you've certainly seen cases across the country where people have put things off or been too afraid to call. And what I would want to remind people about is that our healthcare people are trained. They're trained to prevent spread of infection. They're trained to respond to different situations. And so they're able to respond to what's happening and keep people as safe as you can. And so seeking healthcare is a safe thing to do.
And of course, if somebody is concerned that they potentially have been exposed or experiencing some of the symptoms of COVID-19, they can reach out to Regional West beforehand, before they even get there, and that's absolutely encouraged.
Yes, we do encourage that, because that lets us prepare for your arrival. It also helps us call you back and decide, do you need to come? Do you need to go someplace else? Do we need to just go get testing? and so that is very much an acceptable way to enter the healthcare facility.
And for the general public, of course, the best way to not catch the virus is to make sure you maintain those healthy hygiene practices overall, washing hands, social distancing, 6 feet apart, things such as that, even as things start to relax when it comes to events and gatherings.
Absolutely. You know, we're seeing the director of health measures starting to relax, starting to let us gather a little bit more. But all those things are very important. You know, there's lots of debate. Is a mask enough? Do I really have to wear the mask? Maybe the mask makes it worse. But the mask also reminds us that, hey, there is something that's invisible here, and helps us remember, don't touch your face, helps us remember to wash your hands. It's a visual reminder that social distancing is needed at this point in time. And so as much as the mask may not by itself stop the transmission of a virus, it's a visual reminder, and it's a big droplet knockdown to keep us from infecting each other with that. And we have to remember that as a civilized society, we need to protect the vulnerable. So you may think of yourself as not a vulnerable person, but maybe the person next to you is. And so you've got to be a good citizen and help them as well.
Dr. Bruner, thank you very much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you.